Less than 2 weeks before round one of the A-League Men's Sydney FC campaign, they've claimed an Australia Cup after a come-from-behind 3-1 victory over Brisbane Roar. It's the second Aussie Cup from four attempts for the Blokes and returning to Asian football for the first time in 3 years. Who said it's only a pre-season Cup, hey Jules? A glorious triumph and a brilliant atmosphere in front of more than 15,000 faithful. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, it's The Man Club with Sean, Jono, Jules and Nick. Hello. Nick, welcome back.
Hello.
Where you been?
I don't know. Where have I been, Sean?
Advertising. He's Michael Jackson. It's hard when you've got the vinyl and the cassette, DVD, and his DVD back collection too.
Absolutely.
I feel like you'll be alphabetizing your Sydney FC Brazilian players soon, though.
Maybe. Yes, very true. Maybe. If they keep performing like that, we'll get to it. But
that's it. 100%. That's it. Very good. Welcome back, mate. It's good to have you. Jules, you had a wonderful time at the fan day on Sunday. Give us the lowdown.
We can't hear you, dickhead. Fucking take yourself off
fucking
mute.
Fucking hell, mate.
Wow.
Jesus. What a ripping start to the podcast.
You're embarrassing us in front of Nick.
Please, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
You missed out on about that mediocre insight. Please, start again.
I'll start again. No, it was really good. I didn't get there as quickly as I'd like because the little miss was having a irregular nap. But we got there in the end.
That easy.
I know. Yeah. No, not me.
I thought you were
talking about No, but it was really good. It was really good to, see the jersey presentation and sort of get a chance to take some photos with some of the players, get a chance to take a photo with the cup, which was pretty special. So, Evie's got a trophy before some primary school kids have even seen one for Wanderers. so there you go.
Did you get a tour through the facility, through Sky Park?
No, none of that. No, not to the gen public, mate.
No, just the top dogs, you and me, Jono.
They do only say that stuff for the VIPs.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I've criticised their membership department too many times, so they're probably black.
They wouldn't let you in, Jules.
Yeah, they're black mark. Anyone with a Bornback last name.
You need to become an admin of a supporters page, mate.
Yeah. Or I'll start my own page.
Start your own Instagram page like Nick did.
True.
Get your YouTube channel up and running again.
Yeah. Bomb Gaming HD.
Yes. Look it up. It's still there.
So
yeah, I'm gonna decommission that this day tonight so no one can see it.
It is so dumb.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. All the actually, Nick, being a Del Piero fan, he would definitely be checking that out.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
That was before Ultimate Team was a thing.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Mm. And Sean, longest and kind of dearest friend, how you going, man?
I'm all right, man. Same old.
Definitely the longest.
Yeah, definitely the longest. Good old Five Grey. I don't know. It was a great Saturday night.
It was
great company. The steak was fantastic. Thank you, Strawberry Hills Hotel.
What about the game? Don't tell us about the dinner date.
It peaked at the steak. Great $20 steak special. We'll be back there on Saturday. Look, the game. Look, who doesn't like an event, tinged with Sky Blue at Allianz Stadium? Great place to go. The boys
it's
had
good
a great
to be home.
Event. Good to be home. You know, kind of A-League season kind of has come early. And the boys got the result.
Absolutely. It was really good to be back at Allianz Stadium amongst 15,500 of our friends, mostly, unless you're Section 22 or something. But I don't know. Nick won't go into that. Nick's remaining anonymous on that information.
Oh, no.
If I speak, I'm in big trouble.
Oh, no.
Definitely are, but it was that was a wonderful night out. The first of three Saturday nights in a row at Allianz Stadium, and hopefully the
festival.
Hopefully we see the crowds. Yeah, hopefully we see the crowds build slightly over those 3 weeks. That'd be brilliant. Got the girls on Saturday night, which we'll talk about briefly later on tonight. No Michelle Morris, gentlemen. We bid her adieu and farewell to Europe, European adventures. She will be back on Sky Blue Stories. So if you've tuned in just to hear Michelle, maybe just switch off now and come back in a couple of weeks, because we're rubbish. But she will be back, which is good news. But without further ado, I think it's only, you know, customary now for Sean to take the reins and do a bit of this.
Browns. See, hole man. Contract extension. Very happy to announce, if you haven't seen it across the wireless, the young midfield star has signed a contract extension, keeping him with us.
Mm.
2026. On the back of some really shitty, you know, debilitating, somewhat chronic injury over the last year and a half that put him out. I don't buy into the bit of the gripe some people had with his performance in the first half, although he did get yanked.
Saw a bit of that too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with. He's a young kid coming back from injury. He's a big reason why we got to where we did in the final. Started every game, and he did well enough, more than well enough, every game for Steve and the team to be able to go, you hold your spot. Even after Maxi finished his yellow card stint, or red card stint, Holman was still more than good enough. And it's fantastic that we've got that kind of depth now in the team that, God forbid, when something happens to a Bratz or an AC or Maxi, we've got the likes of Corey Holman come in. Fill the void and then some. So very happy.
Two out of three, Sean. Come on, two out of three. Just not that one.
Yeah.
Nick, you've been resting. Nick's been resting the last few weeks, so we'll ask his opinion. Corey Holman, 2-year extension. He has started every game, I think, during the cup campaign in midfield there. What have you made of Corey's start to life? Well, really his start to life in the sky blue shirt.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've personally been a little bit pretty impressed by his performances from the cup run we've had. Obviously, coming back from an injury like that, it takes a bit of time to get back into the rhythm. But yeah, I think it's well deserved, and he's a talented young midfielder, and we've got him for quite a while longer. And I think he can just get better for his own development, and definitely improve Sydney's midfield. And he just gives us a few options now, which is pretty good.
Absolutely.
Next cab off the rank, we've got, thanks to being announced by Shay Connors and Princess Sabini via TikTok, we all found out our major sponsor for deal is with Macquarie Uni. Great sponsor. It kind of makes a bit of sense being, you know, over the back fence, so to speak, of Sky Park. And for, you know, you especially, Jules, as a football jersey kid aficionado, obsessed OCD. It's a nice, clean logo, you know, to sit on the front of the shirt.
Integrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I think it's a good sponsor. It's a non-controversial sponsor. Not that I buy into the whole crap around the star, personally. That's just my personal opinion. But look, it's a really good sponsor. It makes perfect sense. We've had a partnership with Macquarie in terms of Sydney FC, you know, program as well. So, you know, everything lines up, looks decent on the kit. Be interested to see how it will look on the third kit that we don't know about that kit. We don't know what it looks like. We're not supposed to know, even though a lot of people wearing it on Sunday. but will it be that, you know, that teal blue? That would be really nice. But
Yeah, it might be hard for it to see it amongst the camouflageness of the third unannounced unofficial kit that no one knows about.
I didn't see any on Saturday night. Did any of you boys see any of the third kit on Saturday night?
No, I did.
I saw one.
Yeah.
One person wearing.
Very good. Davey Warriner wasn't running over to them and demanding they take it off and give it back.
No, not at all. No.
Fair enough.
Oh, dear.
And I guess the other big news.
From Fan Day.
Yeah, from Fan Day, a bit of noise. He certainly helped, and we'll get more into the game or the Saturday's final afterwards, but he certainly, when his appearance, when he finally came onto the pitch, he certainly helped to change the game and kind of turn things into our favour. Keely Adamson presented with Robert's Max jersey on Fan Day. Is there a clue? Is there a hint? Is there something there? Can we read between the lines? I think there's a way. Is Nick Politis involved in order to try and get him to sign with the club? Some back.
Did you see this, Jules? Did you witness this live?
I didn't witness this live because I got there later, and they sort of split the day up. They sort of they did the men's prezzo, and the women were signing stuff, and then they flipped it. But yeah, it's weird that he got given Max number. That's the first thing. That's a bit strange.
I only realized later that Robbie Max obviously got on a plane to Europe for the qualifier. So that might have taken a bit of shine off theories there. But it's got to be something in it. Surely, Nick, please.
I just don't think he'd present him with a jersey and announce him in front of a crowd of fans if you're not going to have him on for the upcoming season.
That would be super weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd be weird on him. Stuff. But it's like, you'd think something's in the line. You'd think, hopefully, and the performance he had on the weekend, hopefully.
We do weird stuff sometimes, though, but we hope. We've got everything crossed and all of us here, and I think every single fan is you know, just waiting for that news to put us out of our misery, I think, lads. So let's hope there's something around the
corner. Can't keep them all. And give Zach De Jesus. De Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it?
Jesus. De Jesus.
What are we doing?
Give him a chance to impress.
But Keely's already impressed for five Australia Cup games.
Cool.
On both sides of the field.
Oh, he wasn't that great in the City game.
It was all right.
You got yanked.
Yeah. But he got pulled because Ryan Grant was building up his match minutes. That's the way I'm putting it. Let's hope something's cooking. Is that what they say, Sean?
Cooking with gas. Cooking with Keely. But we've also got the speaking of Saturday night. Jerseys and whatnot, Sydney FC Foundation fundraiser, Australia Cup final signed jerseys up now. So go get a jersey, donate to, you know, contribute your money to the wonderful Sydney FC Foundation. And who's up there at the moment? I think Fabio,
Fabio's like 1,500 more. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
That's chump change for you, Jules. Like, fuck you.
How do you know it's not for Jules?
Mate, it's I've been looking at it. I've been following a couple of them to see if they're, you know, fucking do something. But no, it's all going to a good cause. And yeah, hopefully they smash it. But yeah, that's got to be the largest number I've seen in quite a while for a jersey.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's like you said, goes for a very good cause, so let's get those bids up.
And this other last bit, Jono, you might be better to speak to this. Everybody wants a piece of Courtney Vine.
I sure do. Horse, she's a popular girl.
Also out on the track with the horsies.
Yeah, she's a popular girl. She's on the track. Well, not sure if you got to talk to Courtney about this on the weekend, Jules. I know you had a...
No, because I saw it and I only saw that she's become... obviously, a Melbourne Cup ambassador for Flemington after the fact. So I think it was yesterday that I saw the post. I'm not even sure. It might have even only gone up yesterday. But, it's great to see commercial interest of that sort of magnitude for, you know, one of our, you know, female players. You know, it sort of speaks to the influence and the growth in the game over the last 6 months, and obviously the impact of the Women's World Cup, that she's essentially one of the faces of, you know, arguably one of the biggest, you know, sporting events on the calendar, one of the biggest racing events in the world. So it's pretty high praise.
So it's Stella magazine that she's done the photo shoot for as well, to kick off the campaign. Go check out Courtney's Insta if you haven't seen it. Just some glorious shots there. She looks stunning. As someone said on there, you know, at first glance, she thought it was a young Nicole Kidman. I'm like, yeah, it's
I can see that. I can buy that. Yeah.
Eyes wide shut, or more like BMX bandits.
BMX bandits.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Don't make it weird. But no, she looks absolutely stunning. And then, of course, you've got the heroes that have a go because it's horse racing industry. But we might leave that one there, Jules. What do you think?
Yeah. All I'll say is that, you know, she's got a. It's a pretty shitty thing to have a go at, you know, Courtney Vine for. You know, getting a shot to be an ambassador and sort of grow her profile.
And get paid.
These opportunities aren't just, you know, falling in people, you know, women's football's laps at the moment. So it's fantastic that it's starting to grow, but, you know, that's just detracting from it, in my opinion, but it's all good.
Yeah.
That's it for Around the Grounds.
Well done. Lovely. What a lovely opening.
Thanks, man.
You're just such a professional,
love. Sean. A lot of love in the room today.
It's like clockwork. It's like clockwork, Sean. Boy.
ESPN going.
Nick Rojas, 99. Take us through what happened on Saturday night for us.
Yeah, sure. So, kind of, it was a good old 3-1 win for the Sky Blues. Kind of started off pretty. I'll say it still started even, but Brisbane did have a good first half of the football game. They did get the goal with Whittingham, the young striker who's had a good cup run all season, really, and he's one to look out for this season in the A-League. But, yeah, so they got in with the win. I think Ram was the one who made the initial block on a deflected shot. But, yeah, he came in right place, right time to be able to... get Top Brisbane lead, but it was a bit of a. We did have our chances, but we went into the half time. I think still, like personally, I still felt that we were definitely capable of getting the win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so definitely. It was definitely good to see us bounce back pretty quickly, and I don't think Brisbane really had a shot or a chance that really worried us in the second half.
They had a couple, but like you said, it was a slow start. Brisbane, to their credit, were positioning us out of the game, basically. They'd completely locked us into our own half after that first 10 minutes. Jordan Courtney-Perkins wasn't having a great time on the left-hand side there, Shawnee, on his starting debut. But this is the thing, and you know, it wasn't just his starting debut. It wasn't just Gabriel Lacerda's starting debut. It was Ryan Grant's first start of this campaign. So he hasn't played alongside Jake Girdwood-Reich. So it was a completely untried, untested backline.
And quite a tricky time of the campaign to do it. Like, understandably, needed to. Rodwell was injured again. But Jordan didn't have a great first half. Pretty average. Got yanked at halftime. But I turn to you. I'll firstly say, despite going down 1-0, I didn't feel like, okay, time, that's it. We're done and dusted. We're not going to be able to get back into this. What helped us was there was still, three quarters of the game to go, so we had plenty of time up on our side. But I remember turning to you at one point and you articulated it better than me. I said, they're kind of like pressing us. And you said, no, they're not so much pressing us really well. They're more like just holding their shape really well and just moving really beautiful as a really cohesive unit Brisbane were doing.
Blocking the passing lanes, as Jules says.
And we were really struggling to get out of our half.
You could tell, Jules, by some of the turnovers, I guess, that they forced us into. Because it wasn't like, just like Sean said then, it wasn't like we were rushed and just clearing it. They gave us time. They just blocked those lanes, and you saw Lacerda and even Ryan Grant.
His distribution.
Yeah, eventually just hoofball, right? And try and get out, but to no effect.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the Brisbane defensively in the first half were fantastic. You know, I know this Sydney FC podcast, but you gotta credit where credit's due. Basically, I think they cut off the passing lanes extremely well, like you said. And I think the other thing, the reason why we were probably coughing up the ball a little bit more often without, you know, immense pressure, like we're saying, is that they set traps, they pressed at the right moments when certain players or certain the ball would be in certain areas of the pitch, where they were pretty much stifled and we were locked into one side. So ultimately it meant that we had to sort of, as you said, hoof the ball a little bit and reset, or even just try to play the ball down the line so we can get out of pressure. So no, look, they were fantastic in the first half, and I'm glad that I only had to watch it on the replay. Because I was at my wife's gridiron game.
That's right.
So Quack quack, baby. I would have been, huh?
Did she win?
No, she didn't. Yeah, not allowed to talk about it. 14 up and then lost 21-0. So, yeah,
edit that out.
Exactly. Please edit it out. But yeah, no, look, we turned it around second half, and that's all that matters. And we were fantastic from the second half.
Why? Tell me, because I'm just a bloke that talks into a microphone every now and then and pretends like he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. But Brisbane they were gassed probably around the 50th minute, 55 minutes. But so how are they expending the energy? Is it what Sean said? Is it them just moving side to side and sort of blocking those lanes? Because they, like I said, I didn't feel like they were pressing up into our face the whole time, but.
No, I think it was that, probably the mental concentration of it and the fact that Sydney probably started to move the ball a lot quicker, so they were able to penetrate. And then because of that, I think Brisbane, like, you know, most teams that sort of are set up to cut passing lanes, once it breaks their first line, they'll reverse press or back press, however you want to phrase it. So, that line that's just been broken will try to swarm that player. But it's very, you know, if you're not quick enough and you're not disciplined enough and the ball speed from the opposition's too quick, then that can sort of get you chasing shadows, I guess. Yeah,
eventually not fit enough either.
Exactly.
So Nick, go, mate.
No, I was going to mention just before, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get to how we turn around with from losing position, but there was a decision in the game featuring Jake Goodwood that could have decided the game for Brisbane, but initially didn't really get their way. It was the yellow card, that pretty terrible elbow on, I think it was...
was it an elbow? Was it an elbow?
It looked pretty bad from my angle.
There was like definite follow-through. I was sitting. There was definite follow-through. Let's do a quick straw poll. Can we remain anonymous? And we'll just say the result. Put your hand up if you think it was a red card.
Yeah. Can anyone see this? Yeah, probably more or less. Yeah.
All right. Okay, everyone. So I can't hide anyone's anonymity.
I'd be pissed off if it was us, basically.
I watched it a couple of times. As I said just before, I was watching the replay because I'm surprised there hasn't been a little bit more chat about it, to be fair. It does actually look like it's shoulder, not elbow, and the elbow sort of follows through, and that makes it look a lot worse. But even so, he's gone in quite high late, and he's copped the bloke in the nose. He was bleeding, you know, from the nose. So I think he's a little bit lucky there, Jakey. I won't say that. That's a terrible saying. He's got a bit of mongrel in him. And that's why I like him. But Nick, Henry Hoare it was that copped that. Henry Hoare was involved in just about everything good for Brisbane, I must say. He was definitely buzzing around up until he gave a penalty away. But he was everywhere. Like you said, probably switched momentum a little bit in Sydney's favour.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it definitely would have. And if it didn't go our way, you never know what could have happened in the end.
Absolutely. But halftime, Sean, we called for changes. We had our halftime debrief, you and I.
Yeah.
We sort of said, as you said, you know, the game's not gone. It's really up to, we've got the players. It's really up to the coaching staff to win this game for us, which was very winnable. And he made some changes.
I went and got some beers, packet of chips, came back. Changes. And I appreciate the halftime sub. I appreciate when a coach goes, don't wait to the 75th, 85th minute like we've been critical of Steve before. I appreciate going, giving a bloke, recognising, okay, he has not done his job, and giving another bloke, you know, 45-odd minutes to be able to do their job. So, and that helped the change. When Max comes on, like, I'll preach to the choir of Brendan Slowey, you know, who's in love with Max. Max helped to change the game. Max is just positive, 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 play forward as much as possible, pass and move, shifts the ball quickly. And I think that's what helped to kind of tire Brisbane out, just trying to keep up with the speed of our game and kind of controlling the tempo. And also I think, and maybe this might sound a little bit arrogant coming from me, I think just that little bit of, Brisbane are a younger side, although we're leaning on a bit more youth these days, and rightfully so, but just a little bit of that extra class, a little extra bit of quality from us.
Experience.
Yeah, with the Maxis and Caceres's as well. And then, you know, Fabio comes on, just that little bit of extra something, help to get our nose in front or two.
Nice bit of depth.
Yeah. And look, how good is that now coming into this season where we can go, plan A is not working with X, Y, and Z player. And, you know, we have really great quality. Jaden came on, you know. He had a great impact too.
Yep.
Led to one of the goals. So, very happy with our depth and the quality that we can have coming off the bench to make an impact.
Brilliant. Let's talk about our goals. And the first one. Let's talk about someone that needs talking about before we get to the goals, because he was involved in pretty much all of them. Joe Lolly had an absolute field day in that second half there, boys, down the right-hand side, but also on the left as well. He and Mac and Max Burgess were linking up in a triangle on the left for a good 10 minutes in that second half. And at one point, it was still 1-0 down, but I counted. We had seven players in the box, in the attacking box, seven supply blue shirts, just waiting for a rebound or something. And it's not something I'm used to us seeing us do. But it was brilliant. And Lolly was basically doing what Mila Usnich was doing to Jordan Courtney Perkins in the first half. He was doing that to, I think it was young Louis Zavala for Brisbane Roar on the left. So, it ended in a match, man of the match performance, Mark Viduka medal for Joe Lolly, and richly deserved. But the way that he just glides through some of those defenders was a sight to see. How was it from your angle, Nick?
No, it was terrific, absolutely terrific. And it felt like anything that went their way, like anytime we went on a counter or went on to the attack, it was always straight to Lolly. And you just saw him do his magic. It was superb. And, yeah, he had a – like he absolutely deserved the man of the match in the end. And, it's very exciting to see that he's already getting in his form before the season kicks off. So, yeah, he's going to be very important for us for the whole season.
Only had about 18 assists in the Australia Cup so far.
Yeah.
nothing to write home about. Sean, the first goal – my friend, pretty obvious.
Yeah, ref caught it straight away, no hesitation. And then there was that little bit of just Max there, Fabio's there, who takes it? Fabio's like, you know, I'm the striker, I'm the nine, leave it to me.
And it was literally, because I saw someone put it on Twitter or say it was literally his first touch was putting that ball in the net.
That's mad.
Which is pretty mad.
Did it comfortably. Made the keeper the wrong way.
Stared him out, didn't he? Him out. He obviously hasn't subscribed to the Sydney FC policy of missing penalties.
Yes, sir.
Not yet.
So someone has no way.
That's a learned skill.
He might have got the memo. He might have got the memo, but maybe he can't quite decipher it in English just yet. But but saying that, he's got some good ink on his neck. I saw on his step by step on there. So he's maybe he's playing
a little bit better than Life's a Gamble, but you know.
Well, I know Sean's a big fan of step by step. Early nineties. Step by step.
Who was the funny uncle? Was it Joey?
Oh, I can't remember. No, you're thinking of...
I'm thinking of Full House.
You're thinking of Full House.
Oh, that's a great... Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Great times. Sorry, Nick, we're talking about time before you were alive.
TV, nostalgia. Talking about TV.
I'm not...
Free to air.
Yeah, free. I know you're all about the YouTube.
The YouTube and the MySpace.
Oh, dear.
KSI fam, innit?
Mandem.
Mandem.
The Socceroos are Mandem, apparently. It was 1-1. That made it 1-1. And at this stage, Sydney FC really were dominating. And the next goal was a thing of absolute beauty. Who wants to talk us through?
All over them like a cheap soup, Jonathan. Cheap soup.
Because it doesn't cost much.
Yeah, soup doesn't. It's cheap. Lolly was putting the effort in the first half, but it was just wayward. But then I think I read somewhere that like he went to Steve in the sheds at halftime and went like, yeah, I'm playing shit or something like that. He was just honest with himself and just called a spade a spade.
Oh, he had a couple of
wayward
wild shot. Yeah, well over the bar.
But he was playing like a man possessed in the second half and just on that beautiful.
Great release by Bratz, wasn't it?
Yeah, from Bratz. Yeah. Lolly there just running down the right wing and then just perfectly weighted pass across the 6-yard box, and Mac just gobbled it up. He ate it and left no crumbs.
Yeah,
he ate. What the kids say, Nick?
He's cooking. He's cooking.
I don't know this one, but he was. But Sean, something you said, and it's something a few people have said. You know, Mac was probably cooking for about 71 minutes of that game. I reckon he had about a dozen touches in the game. I do think six of them were shots, to be fair. but it took him a long time to get going. But something I turned to you after he scored and I sort of went, well, if he scores once a game and he doesn't do anything else, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, a friend of ours who goes by the initials Chris Howes, who does listen.
No, that's too obvious.
Look, and he said, and I tend to agree, and this might sound a bit rude towards Robbie Mack because he did get our player of the season. Like, he doesn't, how do I say it? Like, doesn't quite have the work rate or the impact that you see.
Work rate might be the right word.
Yeah, the Lollies and Conceruses and Max's constantly, every second, every minute of the game. But he'll just pop up. Like, if he can do little to nothing, but then score a goal every game or every second game.
Yeah. You're worth your cash, aren't you?
Yeah, you're ticking the box and doing my job as a forward.
Worth your cash. I think this cup campaign, he's definitely been less involved, but he still scored, you know, I think 3 goals. Last year I think he ended up with 10 goals, double figures, which is nothing to sniff at. And, you know, 3 or 4 assists. So, I'm a big Robbie Mack fan. I love what he does. He was pretty quiet, and I think he found being hemmed in uncomfortable. I don't think he liked that at all, not being able to break free and take players on and play his natural game. But it was really cool to see Joe Lolly sort of go over to the left and just get involved and help Mack actually get some touches on the ball. And you could see that, you know, you could see as soon as he got those that he was growing confidence again. And the finish, he was calling for it from about halfway, I think, that he was well open at the back stick. And what an assist across the goal mouth from Big Joe. Yeah.
Didn't stop there, though, boys. A little bit of the icing on the cake on the 90th minute with Fabio getting his second. Kacharski came on playing a bit of a... What was he playing? A bit like a 10 roll of sorts. And then fired off a shot with the left foot. Keeper parries it. And then it might look like, to the untrained eye, Fabio might have just looked like a bit of a, you know, a gimme.
Tap in.
But there was a bit of finesse about, I think he used like the outside of his right foot and just keepers going one way. He used the outside of his foot to push the ball the other way. There's still a bit of decent skill. You've got the reaction time, be able to get there and you know, before the defender and before the keeper picks it up. But barely any touches in the game. Comes on in the 60-odd minute, scores two goals, very decisive ones. That's what you want from a striker, from a nine.
That's all you need.
Absolutely.
That's all you need.
Pretty decent. And Jules, actually, I was gonna say to you, I think it was on the second goal, on that Robbie Mack goal. You would have noticed it because you're a football manager. The run that Gomez makes, or rather doesn't make, when Lolly's tearing down the right there and Max has got his arms up, you know, like a wacky waving inflatable tube man, trying to make sure Joe sees him. So Gomez is actually in the center running towards the penalty spot, and he actually holds his run and starts running sideways to actually drag the player out of the way. And what that does is it just completely takes that defender out of the equation for the cross. And I just thought that was really intelligent.
Absolutely.
It was just really good to see that he's not just a big lumbering, you know, He's not Ian Tall guy.
Oh, I love Ian Tall guy. He's got a
football brain in there. So you can't use him, Nick, in Griddle, Ian Tall guy, because he never played daily.
No, I can't. No,
sorry.
No, and he doesn't go. Amazingly, that is not his official name. He's not his real name. Ian Tall guy. Shocking.
What did you make of Fabio's overall performance?
Yeah, no, I think, like, obviously, right place, right time for the two goals. The third touch he probably had in the whole game could have been a hat trick. So he had a great chance, and I think his movement is actually pretty impressive. Like, I think he definitely made a better impact. Like, we've loved and praised Paddy Wood all Australia Cup, but don't think he really got there in this game. He had a couple of chances, but but once Fabio came in, you could see there was a bit more like aggression in him, and like there was a lot more. And I think like him being that tall, like this presence alone is enough to trouble defenders. And I think that's exactly what is the strategy for when he eventually gets those starts. He's going to be like, if he starts, if this is a perfect start that he could have to his Sydney career.
Yeah. Jules?
Yeah. Nah, couldn't agree more. Good footballer, it seems. I just hope that he, you know, obviously continues in the same vein with that goal scoring record. I mean, obviously you'd love him to score two or three every game. It's not going to happen, but we're not playing FIFA or EAFC. But at the same time, you know, his movement, like you said, Jono, off the ball is very clever, creates an angle to, if the defender doesn't follow him, creates an angle for a shot and a cutback. If he does, beautiful, creates an opportunity for one of his teammates. So I think that's what we're going to see. There might be some games where he might not be on the score sheet, but what he does to attract attention of defenders and occupy them will free up the likes of a Mac and a Lolly to be effective, or Caceres running through from 10. So, yeah, it's looking... I don't like being this positive going into a season. It's, you know, set me up for disappointment, I think.
I thought we might have seen a samba on the advertising boards there at one stage after the first one, but he might be saving that for another occasion. Maybe for an opening day hat-trick against
Derby. Derby.
Maybe. Sean, who starts in the nine jersey round one Saturday, the 21st of October?
There you go. Wood, who had a very good Australia Cup campaign, scored a handful of goals, didn't quite have the final he would have liked. Or do you go with your foreign marquee 24-year-old tall
Six?
Timber, 26-year-old, scores two goals on debut? Okay.
Personally, I'd start Paddy Wood.
Yeah, I still think Paddy's done more than enough.
Yeah.
More than enough to start. In the fortnight,
there's not a long season in the A League, but it's a lot of games. I think looking at Gomez's record, you know, he's likely not going to play 26 games on the trot, 90 minutes, looking at his last couple of years. So I reckon Paddy Woods earned the starting spot still. I think he kept himself very busy on Saturday night. He didn't finish the half chances that he got, but he certainly got into some good positions. He had some good runs through, as did Anthony Caceres, who we haven't talked about too much, but geez, I thought, watching the replay, geez, I thought he was one of our best as well. Yeah. And again, doesn't get the plaudits that are Max Burgess or, you know, Joe Lolly or someone else might get. But his ball control and movement and, you know, in that second half was also a big contributing factor. But anyway, I digress.
Hey, he was my Mark Viduka medal.
There you go. So 3-1 win, lads. Pretty good.
And a trophy.
Good. And a trophy. Jules, what have you been saying last couple of years on this podcast?
Corica out.
Silverware at this club is an absolute minimum requirement.
Well, yeah, there you go.
And here it is. So, you know, fair play. And I think it's not just about the trophy. I mean, that's a huge part, but it's about the way in which we've done it as well. I think we're playing really, really attractive football and aggressive football as well. So it's what fans like to see, and it's really, really pleasing that not only is it great to watch, but it's bearing a lot of results, great results as well.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Couple of fun facts. Andrew Redmayne becomes only the second Sydney FC player to win two Australia Cups. Steve Corica becomes the second manager to have all of the domestic trophies available after Graham Arnold, which is pretty impressive for him. It's the first trophy at Sydney FC for many of the players, a lot of the youngsters, a lot of the foreigners, obviously, in their first year. But first one for Patrick Wood, who debuted over 3 years ago, lads, in the first team. So that's one there. And it's also the first trophy for someone that debuted 9 years ago
this week
at the club.
He debuted 9 years ago.
But 9 years ago,
but never won a trophy
on the 11th of October.
That'll be Max.
Bang on.
Hey, there it is.
Love you, Max.
Who's Burgess's? So, Maxi Burgess's first trophy in Sky Blue. It's sort of hard to believe, but
I say Emma Sonnet.
Sorry,
I thought it was Emma Sonnet.
Throwback.
Listen to our All Dub pod for that joke reference. Yeah, so brilliant for Maxi Boy. His first one. Wasn't it brilliant to see some of the younger lads? I mean, Adam Pavlicic was obviously clearly the party boy.
Kaczowski with the cove at the end was Kaczowski, very much getting into it. And I love seeing it. What a
those
man.
Those two were the absolute instigators of it. So now brilliant. First one for Luke Bratton as captain as well.
And he needs to work on his trophy lifting.
Oh, he was appalling. That was awful.
So bad.
Oh dear. He had to self high five himself as well.
That was unreal. That was so good.
Yeah, poor little girl took a soccer ball and ran away. So 4 Oz Cup finals for us. And we've gone 2, so 50%. Oh, you know, for a knockout competition, got to be pretty happy with that. Win it in regular time as well. We've qualified for Asia.
Yeah.
Good.
Yay?
Yay.
Is that the second or third tier?
Second tier. So, the way that everyone says, it's like the Europa League, I guess. But it's not called AFC Cup next year. People have said it's called Asian Champions League 2 or something.
Okay.
What a revelation.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't the first one called like Elite something?
Yeah. Nick, do you reckon they pay, how much do you reckon they pay consultancy to come up with that name?
Oh, as much as we're earning for this podcast.
That's what they should have paid. Very good. So next season, at a minimum, we'll be off to Myanmar, Bhutan, and Laos, boys.
Oh, If we win it, we go into the Champions League.
That's right. So, that's right. Yeah. That's very good. How about any other points before we do some SFCU votes that you guys wanted to bring up?
Steak was really good again.
Who was good?
Steak.
Steak was good. I thought you said Steak Jake. Was good. My Jake was pretty good. Yeah.
Jake was all right.
Very good. All right. Well, I'll let you guys have some thinking music. I'll do Joe Lolly has to get the three for me. Thought he was exceptional. I'm going to give I think I have to give it to Gomez for the brace. It was just nice to have him finish off the penalty and the goals. That's a bit of a goal scorer slash, you know, caught up in the moment vote. But anyway, two votes for him. And I'm going to give one to Caceres. I thought Caceres, he's a magician. I think he's also had an exceptional Australia Cup, and I think that bodes well for our season ahead. I do think it's best if we start with that midfield that we started with in the second half. So Caceres alongside Bratton there.
Maxi is the 10.
And just go for teams. Yeah, just go for teams. So Lolly, Gomez, Caceres.
Nick? I will go with same thing. Lolly 3. I'll go with 2 Gomez as well, but I'm going to give 1 to Adamson.
Nice.
But he was really good when he came on.
Signing.
Clogged up that left side. Jules?
I will go for 3 for Lolly, 2 for Gomez, 1 for Bratz.
Nice. How good was Bratz on the 7-iron? That 7-iron of a right peg that he's got.
Yeah.
It was just distributing it beautifully in that second half. Sean?
3 for Anthony.
Oh, nice.
2 for Joseph.
Yes.
And
not 1 Josephine.
No. And 1 for Jake Gilbert, right, for the elbow. That was sick. He played really well.
Wallabies possibly could have used him.
Yeah.
World Cup campaign. Fantastic. Great stuff. Great review. Lads, we've had a question. Yay, question.
Brendan Slowey.
This is from the number one Belinda Carlisle fan, Brendan Slowey. He'll thank me for that later. Scobly Stories question for the pod. Having seen our full squad, now with the two Brazilians having trained and played, I don't know about significant minutes, but minutes, yeah. What are your expectations for the season? I'm thinking pushing for the plate, but ultimately falling a little short. Who would like to take that question on? We'll do a full season preview next week, I think, Sean and gents, similar to how we did the girls last week. But basically the question is, you know, what are our expectations? Where do we think we're going to end up?
I'm going to say I think it'll be an improvement of last year, but not enough an improvement to be a top two team. However, I don't know. With the two teams, I mean, if anyone follows me on Twitter, I've already given my predictions for the season. We'll get into that next week, but I've kind of put, like, if anyone's seen it, I've kind of put Sydney just outside the top two. I think, it just depending on how the likes of City will go, like, you never know what type of team they'll have with Vidasic on the helm, and that's just my opinion. But then,
what are you saying?
With what they've got a good team on paper, and obviously they've won the plate 3 years in a row now. So, for us, it just depends on how quickly we click with these new players, how the two Brazilians are going to adjust to the A League. Let me ask you this.
Would you say top four is? Would you say we're comfortably in the top four?
Do
you think that's going to be touch and go?
I think on paper we should be top four.
Okay, from what I've seen,
there's still a lot we haven't seen. Like, we haven't played. Like, you never know how how Neighbours will go this year. You never know the type of teams that City will bring.
Yeah, we do. They'll start well and then they'll crash and burn.
Exactly, of course. But let's see. Let's see what happens. But yeah, I think on paper we should be top four.
Jules, you were feeling strangely optimistic.
Optimistic.
Earlier. Yeah. How about yourself? If I said comfortably top four, are you comfortable with that statement?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with that statement. I can't believe I'm saying that. But yeah, if you would have asked me that probably 3 months ago, I might not have given the same answer. But no, I've seen nothing to suggest that we can't be well and truly in the top four. I'd probably put us, you know, I'd be comfortable enough to put us almost top three. I don't know about pushing for the plate. It really is kind of dependent on City. And in my opinion, I think Wanderers still have a very, you know, very good squad and they just managed to do things.
I think it's also going to depend a lot on our fitness levels.
Yeah.
We've got a few key players, I think, that need to stay fit. And yes, we've got the depth that we spoke about, but some of it is very untested. So, It is cautious optimism, I think. Sean, how do you answer Mr. Slowey's question there?
Brendan, I think we'll be fourth, maybe third. I think a lot of our success this coming season will depend on a fit Jack Rodwell.
We're a
different kind of something. We saw that when he was back on the field playing consistently last season. I think he's very important for our campaign going forward. I'm not too sure who the other threats are going to be this season in the A-League. I've seen a few people on X, Twitter. they're like, oh, this is the hardest
season. You're so up with the lingo.
Oh, man, I slapped. And, you know, Central Coast, no Nick Montgomery, Thumb Dog gone. City, I feel like there's a bit of chink in their armor. I feel like they've kind of peaked and starting
back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, come back to the pack. Wanderers, I don't know what the fuck they do, honestly. And Adelaide, a good one.
Nah.
Brisbane, I think they'll do well this year, but how well?
I reckon if I was a gambling man, which I am, I'd be comfortable top three.
Yeah.
Comfortable top three. Possibly even top, but I haven't seen enough of the other teams, like you said, Jules, to really make that distinction, I guess. Everything you guys have said, I agree with. You know, I think a few of the teams are going to come back to the pack a bit. You know, you would expect Melbourne Victory to improve a little. Western have lost Prijovic and another couple. We'll go into a little bit more detail next week. But I'd be very happy to put some cash on finishing top three. That's for sure.
I'll put money on Victory still not making the top six. But
not making the six?
No.
I think
we'll get on to it next week.
We will indeed. So I don't know if there was much fence sitting there, but we're all pretty much in alignment. Tune in next week. We'll go into it in a bit more detail, as well as wrapping up the A-League Women's Sydney Derby, which is happening this Saturday night, coming up 14th of October, Allianz Stadium, 7:45 kickoff at Sydney versus not Sydney. We did a dub special edition last week. Well done, Sean, Jules, and Mish on that one.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful episode. I thoroughly enjoyed sitting on the sidelines. It's a big game. They're pushing it pretty hard, not just on socials as well. You know, every chance that Courtney gets, she's doing a selfie video and telling people to come along and, you know, welcome the Matilda. Well, she's the only Matilda, which is a bit sad, but welcome her back. You know, we're talking about a 15,000 to 20,000 crowd, which would be spectacular. Depends on the weather, of course, I think there, but, you know, I think anything north of sort of 10 would be great.
27 on Saturday.
Sorry?
27 on Saturday.
Beautiful. Perfect weather. So, Sydney FC versus the Wanderers. As you guys touched on last week, it's hard to get a read on the Wanderers because they haven't really, you know, gone into too much detail on the players they've retained. They've lost a couple of their best players. I think the only ones that I, the only ones for sure, I think that I've seen is sort of Angelique Sidulu, Amy Harrison, Melissa Caceres.
Who's their winger?
Sophie Harding.
Sophie Harding, yeah, yes.
Sophie Harding, she's back, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, whereas Sydney should be at full strength, I don't think there's any junior national team duty away. I don't think either Indiana's or Shays or anyone will be missing.
I think I saw Indiana was off.
But oh, is she?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
I got that wrong.
Because I know Young Socceroos are going to affect round one for the men's. I wasn't sure about the girls. So, look, I'm expecting us to put on a bit of a show on Saturday night. If I'm honest, boys, I think we're gonna start fast and we're gonna embarrass them. I think it's gonna be a 3 or a 4-0.
I was gonna say 3-0. I'll go 3-0 for that game.
Yeah. Nice, Jules. Confidence. Bridgestone.
Personally, I think this could be a cricket score.
Really?
I think they're in turmoil. I think we're looking really good. I think we're recruited fairly well. If the girls play to, you know, their peak of what they can do versus, you know, what's happening at Wanderers at the moment, which nobody really knows, you know, with the gaffer getting sacked and all that sort of thing so close. So,
yeah.
I think it could be 5 or 6, honestly.
Wow.
That
would be lovely.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Nick's hoping for that too. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was like, I'll keep you to that, Jules.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see how much it's paying on Sportsbet. We'll see. I'll put my money where my mouth is.
This is not a gambling podcast.
No, it's not. No, we're not. Until we're sponsored, it's not.
Yeah, until we're sponsored.
Sean, you got to have a bit of a say last week, but how are you feeling? Thoughts? Are we being way too optimistic, putting too much pressure on the girls? What do you think?
I'm confident that we won't concede any. I think defensively, Charlotte, Nat, Kirsty, Tori, and the whole team, for that matter, will do fantastic. The only question is, we've got a new striker. Is it going to be Shea Connors? Is it going to be Phil Wirtz? So, look, I think it might be a good opening
game for them.
I think we'll dominate Wanderers. I don't know if we'll necessarily have the goals to reflect the dominance. And that just comes with time, a little bit of rust from the girls and, you know, getting those combinations going. So, new midfield, very, very new midfield. You know, Taylor's coming back into the squad, though she played NPL for Olympic this past winter season. Shay, my breakout star, Lucy Johnson. So
very interesting.
Probably more leaning towards like a 2-0, but yeah.
Very good. Let's hope for the win anyway, and all the best to the girls on the weekend. Let's hope for a huge crowd. If you haven't got your tickets yet, or if you haven't added on that $50 addition to your membership, make sure you do so and get out there and support the girls because they are champions and they'll be looking to back up what they did last year, albeit with some fresh faces. So all the best to Ante Juric, Tom Whiteside, and the team. I've forgotten our other assistant coach's name. Sean, help me out.
Is it a girl or a boy?
Lady.
Alice Creasler. Yes,
that's the one. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew
you
had a little bit to do. They're back at Sydney Uni. Yeah.
I knew you had that connection somewhere. Great. Excellent. Good luck to all of them. Before we round out the evening, gentlemen, Jules wanted to entertain you.
Ah, yes, I did.
With our latest segment called
Who's That Pokemon?
Who's that Sydney FC player?
Brilliant. We don't need a soundbite. We've got that now. Jules, who are you quizzing tonight?
I will be quizzing Nick tonight. I'm going to make it a little bit more interesting and sort of get the get the I don't know, the pace of it up a little bit. So I've sort of applied my own rules. I've taken liberties here, Jono. So I haven't
even played this with you. Wow.
He gets tasered.
I'll explain how it works.
Yeah, it's just it's 20 seconds max between the next club.
Oh, yeah, maximum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. So it's nothing crazy, but just because
I think you're aware of how it works, Nick?
Yeah, pretty sure. So, yeah.
First club wiki down.
Done. Okay. Right.
Nicholas without a H. Your time starts now.
First club, Arminia Bielefeld.
So I just say next.
Yeah, if you don't know, you only get one guess. You only get one guess.
I get one guess. Okay.
Until you know, don't say anything. Yeah.
So wait, what country are they from?
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to ask.
we'll go to the next club. Sanfrecce Hiroshima.
Aha.
I think Jono has it. I thought you would pretty quickly. Hence why I didn't ask you.
No, that's good. Even the first one, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right, next.
West Ham United.
Oh, okay.
I think I might know. Emily Sonnet.
Hectic.
Next.
KB Michelin. And this was a loan spell.
From West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. God damn it.
I was going to say, I love seeing people cook, but I haven't had to be in the chair yet. So I can't laugh too much.
All right, next.
Portsmouth.
Ooh. I think... yeah, next.
Leeds United.
Okay. I think I might know who it is, but...
Gong Im Red.
Hmm?
Oh, no.
Nah, just next. I think I know who it is, but go next.
Perth Glory.
Actually, I'm far off. Sydney player.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Won a championship technically with us.
I think I know who it is.
Okay.
Go.
Next. Last club, Sydney FC.
All right. I'm taking my guess. Simon Colosimo.
Unfortunately, that is not the correct answer.
Oh.
Sean, I'll let you have a guess as well.
I'm going to say Lucas Neal.
That's incorrect.
Emily Sonnet.
Do you know what? I went the early crow. Yeah. I went the early crow. Okay. And I actually thought you were talking about Benito Carbone, but then you didn't go down the Italian route.
Yeah.
And I was looking at Nick and I was going.
No, because he played for Coventry. Oh, no, he definitely didn't play for Portsmouth.
Correct.
Yeah, no, that's right. Oh, and Sheffield Wednesday as well. So, yeah, definitely wasn't Benito Carbone. Leeds players to play for Sydney FC, Michael Bridges. So it's not him because he played for Newcastle.
Yes. That was my first guess before you said Perth. And I'm thinking.
Perth Glory to Sydney FC.
Oh, I know now.
I'll give him a go.
Who is it?
Can I give it? Okay. Actually, no, it's not. I was going to say Richie Garcia, but he went back to Perth, didn't he?
No, not Richie Garcia.
Youth club in Australia was Blacktown City Demons. Not sure if that helps.
Narrows it down.
No.
And he also was at the AIS and the Ajax Academy.
What's his personal life?
Who are the Aussies that played for West?
His personal life, Nick?
What?
Married to.
So, I don't know.
Luke Wilkshire didn't play for Leeds.
No, look, she'd play for Feyenoord.
What the hell? I should really be...
Any more facts, Jules?
Yeah, I can give you some more, mate.
Where was he born?
Where was he born? He was born in 23rd of June 1977.
Well, I'm not going to guess that.
He's 6'1". He's played for Australian under-17s, under-20s, and the Australian first team as well. He has also had stints coaching with crosstown rivals Western Sydney Wanderers.
I don't know. It's like...
Aidan Fox?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well played. I was sitting here going, surely I know who played for West Ham.
I was like, when you said Perth and Sydney, I'm like, that's perfect. It's Colosimo. I had two more guesses.
And then you said technically he won a comp with us. And I knew you were talking about 2009-10, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, correct. Yeah, he joined at the very back end of 2010 and then continued with us into the 2011 season.
Right. Yeah, he signed in January as an injury replacement because we got decimated with defenders.
Stephen Keller, I think it was, that got done.
That's a good. Well done, Jules. Well done.
Well done.
That's very good. It's much easier asking the questions than answering it.
It's so much better.
So well done. Well done. All right. Well, that about does us. How's our fantasy teams looking, Jules? Fantasy leagues?
Mate, I'm glad you brought that up, guys. we'll put another link on socials or another, for both our A-League women's and our A-League men's competitions. We've got roughly half filled for the A-League men's and just around a quarter filled for the A-League women's. So still plenty of spots there. I think we filled up both last year, which was really good. If you're keen, jump in and get involved. That'd be really good.
Get in. Anything else, lads? Sean, from you? You're a happy man?
Yeah. I'm all right. Steak was good.
I just want you to be happy. That's all. Steak was good. That's the main
really steak good. Was
maybe good. It was cooking.
Maybe enough.
And slap.
Maybe another slap, one on Saturday. Yo. Saturday night, Sean. We'll work bussin. On that Strawberry Hills Hotel.
It was bussin, hey, Sean?
Yeah, who was? I didn't know. I caught a train to Central.
Brilliant. On that note, thank you, everyone, for tuning into this malarkey. Thank you, Sean, Nicholas, and Julian. I've been Jono, your host. Sir. We'll be back next week to talk about the girls and to preview the A-League men's Sydney FC season mostly, but we'll also touch on what our thoughts are about the wider league because that's always good fun. And, see you all hopefully at Allianz Stadium Saturday night for the women's derby. Until then, enjoy your football.